Beloved in the Lord Jesus, there is an occasion in the scripture where the Lord Jesus practically performs a service to his disciples, which is only recorded once in the New Testament, and only in one of the Gospels. And it took place when they had the supper in the upper room. And I would like to read half of that chapter. Somewhat like half the chapter in John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this hour was come, that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter says unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter says unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus says to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know what I have done to you. Know ye what I have done to you. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Just so far for now. I thought this was so important. It was so important to me because I see the urgency that the Lord puts just on this 14th verse. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So, many of you might think, well, how are we going to do this? How is that done? Are we going to make some kind of a rule how to do it, like the religious systems do or have done with the Lord's Supper, like in Matthew 6, where they call the Lord's Supper and repeat it over and over again, and then have a suitable song with it, and do that every day, every Lord's Day they come together, and then that's the worship meeting. Well, I have talked to a man one time. They said that they did that way, but I could never figure out, well, how could they have done it? Everybody washing everybody's feet, that doesn't make sense. It can't be done. So there must be some other answer to this, some explanation. What did the Lord mean by this? So we want to first look why he did it and how he did it. Now, before the feast of the Passover, that is the first verse, and there we get the answer why he did it. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's why he did it. Because he loved them unto the end, and that includes us. He loves them unto the end, who were his disciples at that time. And so he does us. We are his disciples. And he didn't just wash one disciple's feet and say, well, I'll show you. Wash one of your feet, and then that's it. He didn't do that. He washed all of their feet, all of his disciples' feet. And we went from one to the other. And then we read, and supper ended, being ended, the devil, having now put unto the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, why is that put in here? Most of the disciples didn't even know that what Judas had done. But here we have John, the one whom the Lord Jesus loved, who was closest to him. He must have got also sometimes some extra insight from him what was going to happen. And that's why John can say here now, Simon's son said, accept this, that it was put in Judas's heart, and he mentioned it. And then he mentioned something more. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. Most of them didn't know that either. Not the way we know it today, but John knew it, and he believed it. He was the closest to the Lord Jesus. He lay on his bosom. The Lord had revealed things to him that he might have not revealed to others. And we also read then, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now that was the Passover supper. It wasn't the Lord's Supper, of course. They had the Passover supper there, and as I have read, and I got this from a Bible dictionary one time, that the Jews had quite a delicate way of doing things, like some kind of an extra way, because when they had the Passover supper at that time, they had as much as four cups that they drank. The first one was mixed with water, and the second one was some other reason, and there was a third one. Though I believe that the Lord Jesus at that time, he rose up from in between those breaks that they had, because they took the food away and then brought it again, so that he rose up and he laid aside his garments. It's just, that is a picture. When we do, as he tells us, a service, we lay away or put away the things of this world that we don't really need to do in that service. And it was a service which he did. And he had three things put aside for him. We want to notice these three things that he took, that he had to, I don't know how, but he had them ready. That's a towel, and it was a wash and basin, like it says in the Darby translation, and water. He had these three things. And what I say now, I didn't read in the book. I did read Darby on this, but he had about seven or more pages on it, and he didn't actually come out what actually this meant. I believe that the towel is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And then we have the wash and basin, a picture of the Word of God, and the water in it, the Word of God itself. These three things that the Lord Jesus had put aside for him. And then he takes those, and he starts washing the disciples' feet. There's one thing we notice. He took the lowest place, a very low place. The lowest place that we would always acknowledge that it is when we would have to wash somebody's feet. We've probably never done it. But the Lord Jesus did that. He had to get on his knees. You can't wash anybody's feet without getting on your knees. So that's what he did. And he went around to every disciple and he did it. He washed their feet and he dried them with a towel. And now, what does that mean? When he washed his feet and he dried them with a towel and he went to every one of them, he used that what we have. He used the scriptures, I should say that he girded himself. That's the first thing he did. And that couldn't have been just a small thing. It was a big towel, and it was a linen towel. We know linen is made out of plants, and it goes through a lot of process to get it to be a towel and be a soft piece of garment or towel that he used there. That's why I think it is a picture of the Holy Spirit, because when somebody uses the Word of God, he has to be guided by the Holy Spirit to use it. Otherwise, how can he get the words of God that are written in the book to tell him how to do it? And that's what it means here, because we don't make a ritual out of this thing, and we cannot. Sure, some of the systems make ritual out of these things, but we know it cannot work. There has to be a spiritual meaning to it. And that's what the Lord Jesus is showing us here, doing to his disciples. He is first girding himself, and he used the Word of God, pictured by the Holy Scriptures and the Word. These three things. And then he gets to Peter. Nobody talked to that point. Nobody said anything, but Peter does. And what does Peter say? Thou shalt never wash my feet. Well, why did he say that? Of course, he used what we would think or could say that is common sense. How can a person that is so much greater than himself do the lowest job that there is? That would be unsuitable to have him done, have him do it. So that's the way he must have thought, because he said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." But what does the Lord Jesus say? Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." That might have come as a real surprise for him. Why would the Lord Jesus say that? Well, if we don't let the Lord Jesus, with the Word of God, out of the Scripture, guide ourselves, we cannot have a part with him. We cannot be saved. That's what he means. Thou cannot have part with me. So, Peter couldn't take that. He didn't want to lose fellowship with his Lord, the Lord Jesus. Thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not me, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Well, why the hands and the head? It's basically the same that Cain thought. He never thought to take the sacrifice that Abel had brought and bring a sacrifice to the Lord, because that was the only thing acceptable. Peter thought, well, I have to do something too. So I got to work. I have to do some work for you. Or I have to think up of something, use my head. Something outstandingly good I have to do. Well, beloved, if we think of it that way, we have no part with the Lord Jesus either. Because we cannot work for salvation. Nobody can work to get saved or to get have his part with the Lord Jesus by doing anything. So that's a fact. he had to give up that thought. But Jesus then explains that. Jesus says unto him, he that is washed needeth no save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Every whit. That means all. Everywhere on his body. And ye are clean, but not all. So he is explaining that they all had received him, and he knew that best because he knew the heart. He knows the heart of us. Everybody's heart. If we have received him, or if we have not received him in our hearts, he knows that. And he could say, ye. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. That would mean to watch his walk. It has to do with the feet. And with all of us, it has to do that. We have to watch our walk. And if we walk according to his ways, we have part with him. And then, of course, if we are saved, we are washed every whit. And he could tell them because he knew their hearts. The others didn't know it. They didn't know Judas's heart. In fact, they had taken him all wrong. They didn't even know what was his way of speaking. They could have detected something, but they didn't. And then he says, ye are clean, but not all. He knew who was going to betray him, and that was Judas. I don't believe that Judas was at the Lord's Supper, because later on they did take, we read that in the same chapter here, later on they did have the Lord's Supper, and the Lord gave Judas a sop, and he went out and was night. I have heard people, they have arguments about it. They think, well, Judas had to take the Lord's Supper. Others say he didn't. I cannot pronounce on that because I for myself think he didn't. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. But then comes what he says after he had washed their feet. He takes his garment again. He has to finish his work yet, although for him the work had been done already. He knew he was going to do it. He was going to die on the cross for all of us, for them. He knew it. So he took his garments again and was set down again. He went back to the table, we would say, and then he says to them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye all call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. That is true. The Lord is master of all of us, and we acknowledge it. So then your Lord and Master have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. Now how we do that? Well, just the same the Lord Jesus had done it. We are exercised by the Holy Spirit when a problem comes in, or whatever it may be. And what do we use? We use the scriptures. And we find the word in the scriptures to deal with that problem. What else could that mean? We have to do the Lord's way. And the Lord leads by the Holy Spirit, which he was guarded. He was guarded with that towel. And when we use things like that, we work softly. Not a hard, rash towel. No, a soft towel he had. He wiped their feet again with the towel. If there's a problem that can't be solved, what are we going to do? When we think it can't be solved, we wait upon the Lord. We got to wait the Lord's time to straighten out things and to do things that have to be done. Because that's what the Lord says. He wants it done. It's urgent. He wants us to do it, not just let it go. Wait till it straightens out itself, and then we don't know what's going to happen. It's got to be done the Lord's way. It's got to be done by the Lord's guidance, by the Holy Spirit, which he has given unto us. And that's the only way. I have just recently, some brother told me when they had a vision, and it had to do with discipline. And the assembly decided how to do it. And two brothers got up and said, "No way, we don't go along with it. We're not going to have it. We're going to have our way. So what do you do? It has nothing to do but wait on the Lord. And if we don't do that, we have a division. The division is going to come through. And it's sometimes just by two brothers saying, "No, don't go along with it. That's it. We are not going to do that." Well, then a disaster comes after that. Whatever that will be, the Lord knows. We got to go the Lord's way. We have to wait upon the Lord, and the Lord is going to lead. Whatever the Lord's way is, will be known to us. And that's not just an assembly actions. It's personal, too. In the assembly, we have to deal with each other. And there's personal things coming up in the assembly. We cannot, not just one person or one brother or two brothers get up and say, "Well, that's it. And we're going to have it done that way." It's not going to work. We have to wait upon the Lord. I believe this is what the Lord wants to teach us. But another way, he does it gently. He doesn't say, "You have to do this. You have to do that." But in that same chapter, we find another place where he says, "You have to do it." In that same chapter here, I'm looking for it. He says in verse 33, "So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you." This is a commandment now. This he doesn't say, "Well, I hope you're going to do it. I want you to do it." He commands it. And that's a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. If we do that, beloved saints, we're going to solve our problem too. We love one another.